Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Do you write all your own material?
I love old jokes. Let me tell you something. I don't think an old joke should die just because the motherfucker that wrote it did. He can't use it no more. Red Fox is one of the greatest comedians in the world. Absolutely. He did 75 comedy albums. Nigga, Red is dead. He can't use them jokes no more. We supposed to throw away 75 albums of great comedy?
Right.
Fuck no. I tell them to you. You tell them at work. Right. You're a hero. Right, and you pay no royalty. So no, my show is always peppered with jokes.
I'm a diverse individual.
All of this shit is real.
Everybody's like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? Well, I'm all of it.
All of it.
I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend.
It's all real. Real, real.
This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harris. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris. Yeah, what's happening, man? This is Tip T.I. Harris. I am your host here for the show Expeditiously, where we have conversations with interested people that we could get used to push the culture forward. Now, my guest for today is an actor, a comedian, an entertainer, an author, and most importantly, he's one of the funniest comedians that I've had an opportunity to see.
Thank you.
In person and on television. Now, I first met or learned of him from Def Comedy Jam,
right.
way back
114 years ago.
Yeah, man. Yeah. he definitely an OG in the game and just an incredibly talented individual who has been in some of the biggest films of our culture. I let him name them, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I would like to waste no more time in welcoming to Expeditiously the legendary Michael Collier.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me here, man. First, I'm honored to just sit at the table with you. I'm a fan of yours.
And right on.
Beyond the
I appreciate
music,
that.
I'm a fan of your brain, brother, you know, and how you think, how you care about the community, man, you know. I was at the McCormick place with you once.
Yes.
And we were all sitting on a panel. That's the first time I saw your brain in action. I was like, whoa, you got something going on there. I like that. And I was watching Big Boy talk to you a couple of days ago, too. I like that you stand in your integrity. You know,
you know
what you believe in and you speak it, you know. So I was very honored and I am honored to be here today, bro.
Man, I appreciate it. We're honored to have you and in your comedy and in speaking in conversation with you because, you know, we've been kind of personally acquainted for a number of years now where we'll call each other every now and again just to check in, see what's happening. And you are unapologetically honest about what got you here to this point today.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? In comedy, you'll tell, you know, your humble beginnings as an addict.
Yes, sir.
And you've been 9 years sober.
That's right.
I put this 1942.
That's right. That's okay. You go on, have you. You can fire one up. It don't affect me. I still hang out with people who had a party. It don't have nothing to do with me.
Man, in researching you, though, man, just as, you know what I'm saying, professionally, I've seen that they have you listed as a comedian focused on conscious comedy.
Yes, sir.
Observational comedy.
Yes, sir.
Black humor and self-deprecation.
I don't do a whole lot of self-deprecation.
What's self-deprecation?
That's when you talk about yourself. When you talk down about yourself, you know? Deprecation is.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is the bit that I saw you do on Def Comedy Jam,
uh-huh.
We're talking about, you know what I'm saying, how you smoked
and what you did.
You know what I'm saying? So that could be a form self-deprecation.
That could come under the air very loosely.
Right, but
that would fall under
over
air.
Time, though, I've seen you evolve.
Right.
Into kind of, you don't even curse no more, do you?
Well, I do.
You do?
Oh, I love cursing. cursing is my shit. You know?
I had to throw one in there.
No,
show people you're serious
about it. I just did a new book, and it starts out with me cursing, but it's for motivation. I do motivational speaking.
Right.
So my new book is Michael Goes Motivational. So I'm doing motivational speaking from a comedic point of view.
Right on.
So my folks who work with me are afraid the book is not going to really sell in that community because I start out cussing.
Right.
You know, and I introduce myself as Michael motherfucking Kaya.
That's
who
right.
I am. You know? And they're just like, well, do you want to leave the cursing in? Yes, I want to leave the reality of who
you're
I
fucking
am
right.
in.
Damn you're right. fucking right.
That's
I
who
am.
I am. You know? And so it's so much, it's, I, you know, I'm just a brother from the hood, from the projects, you right know, on. And I'm from Chicago, Southside, Robert Taylor Home, 4352 South State Apartment 909. And it don't matter how many homes or places I live in, I always keep the community in my spirit, in right. my heart. Like, I don't go into any city and perform, and I'm somewhere every week
right.
without going into the hood. Mm. When I go, first of all I gotta do is go to Martin Luther King.
That's it.
Cause that's always it. In the hood. It usually ain't more than 3-4 blocks long. But if you find that, you know you're gonna find some soul food and some brothers,
that's
you know?
Real.
So I always go
some
to
culture.
The hood. Some culture.
Yeah.
You know, because I can always get that other thing. But
that's right.
To remember where we come from, to bring people with us is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm real excited about this. You know, this is my third book, incidentally.
Right.
My first book I did on my president.
Okay,
funny thing
no.
happened on the way to the White House. I knocked on the door and a brother answered, you know.
And it's a children book, right?
It's anybody who can read book, you know. they call it a children's book because it got cartoons in it, and there's no profanity. So I let right. it slide as a children's book. But anyone who just sort of want to follow what happened with Barack, they can see it because it's important. So
right.
when I sell these, I sell them like 3 at a time. Because
mm-hmm.
I say you need one for yourself because it's going to be a collector's item,
right.
you know. You need one for your children because if black kids are going to learn about black history, they get to learn it at the house.
That's real.
They don't teach that in our schools, you know. And then third, you want one for your mama. Because
right.
black mothers know how important Barack Obama is,
mm-hmm.
as well as was. And you get her one of them, she'll fuck around and make you a sweet potato pie. Oh, yeah. You know? So yeah.
I've been told by grandmothers that my sweet potato pie was better than
oh, theirs. You can cook?
Yeah, well, I'm a one-trick pony now as a
oh,
baker. I only do sweet potato pie.
See, me, it's just collard greens.
I don't do pound cake. I don't do pecan pie. I just do sweet potato pie, but it is phenomenal.
But well, I love to hold you to that one day. Let me show you this real quick.
Sure,
when you flip through it, it's just real simple. It showed that when he got in office, everybody loved him, black, white, young, old. But then once he got in office,
mm-hmm.
they tried to tear the White House in half
mm.
before they let that nigga succeed. But look at Barack Obama on both sides of the White House pushing it right back together.
That's right.
The collard greens, Michelle grew at the White House garden.
Okay.
You know, so it goes through and show all the ugly things. And this is 2 years before he got in office.
That's
show
right.
all the ugly things that people said about him, but
mm-hmm.
how he still handled everything with dignity and character
extreme poise.
And grace. You know, and then he messed around and got two terms. And I tell you, his greatest accomplishment is living, that they didn't kill him. It's in them 8 years. And he ain't perfect, you know, but no president is,
none
no person is, you know. But everybody else had a shot at it. We should have a shot at it. So every place I go, I make sure I talk about Barack and I lift him up. And sometimes
that's right.
It's always some white folks come to my show, you know, a handful
sure.
of them. They always want to see what the black people doing, you know, because everybody want to be black except black people.
Hey, man, everybody loves soul.
Yes,
you know
exactly.
Everybody
want
to love soul and they die.
And sometimes they come to me and they address me. Well, you know, you just love him because he's black. Yeah. Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. I mean, white folks have 43.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, that's where it starts because, you know, if I show you a picture of your graduating class.
Right.
What's the first thing you're going to do?
I'm going to look for me in it.
You're going to look for you.
Yeah.
So in anything we see, we looking for ourselves.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's human nature.
Yeah.
So there's a certain level of support that comes with the fact that you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Just don't be dishonest about it. You know,
see?
Like that's everybody is going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass somebody a picture of a graduating class with a bunch of people in that picture, the first thing you're going
right.
to do is go straight to finding you.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I don't think that's problematic.
Well, you know, I don't want to just find me. I want to amplify me.
That's right.
You know, all aspects of me, because Barack is an aspect of me.
That's real.
All black people who are doing anything that's positive, I lift that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it in a room full of white people. I stand in a room full of white people and tell black people my favorite people in the whole wide world. And sometimes they'll come up to you and, you know, yeah, you just like him because he's black. Well, yes, I love him because he's black, because white folks had 43 of their own president. They carry him on their shoulder like Jesus Christ.
But guess what?
We have one. And being proud of it makes me racist.
Well, listen, wait a minute, because they say that you only like him because he's black. Well, listen, you only dislike him because he's black.
Yeah, a lot of folks do, and like, that's the only reason. They have no other reason.
There's
that's
no
the only
other
reason.
Real reason because he's black. So if you don't need to explain or justify the fact that you only dislike him because he's black, why do I have to explain that the beginning of why I like him is because he's black?
Exactly.
I mean, to me, that's something that others have to get over. That ain't our battle to fight.
Right,
you
right.
You know what I'm saying? That's something. That's projection. That's something that they got to deal with within their own psyche.
Right.
Have any of y'all gone online to expeditiously.com and ordered your expeditiously merch yet? I mean, it's available right now. I'm urging you to do so. But on another note, as an entrepreneur, I can tell you that it's important that my products gets to my customers as quickly as possible. Now, if that's important to you, for your business, you can enjoy a hassle-free shipping experience when you use Stamps.com. It's one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses like ours. Stamps.com gives you all the amazing services of the U.S. Post Office right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller shipping out t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts and stuff like us, or even big businesses sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all. You dig what I'm saying? Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any level. Any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just hand it to your mail carrier, drop it in the mailbox like you would anything else. It's just that simple. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder that over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Right now, expeditiously listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in T.I. That's Stamps.com. Enter T.I.
But see, my comedy is an uplifting business, though. You know, that's what I try to do. I'm always uplifting black people because I think loving yourself out loud is not racism. I think
that's
it's race pride.
That's right.
You know, so I'm always upping us, you know, and talking about what we're doing and how to get us to the next level.
Sure.
You know, so that's why my first book was just fabulous. But the second one, now this one, Miss Innocent Goes to Cool School and
Miss
Other
Innocent
Silly Stuff.
Miss Innocent Goes to Cool School.
And this is a poetry book for adult children.
Okay.
People
for
like
adult
you.
Adult children.
People
I
like you. Robin Williams.
Yeah.
People who love this life and know that if you keep God first, you can do anything.
That's real.
You know, but this one, a lot of people be confused because they see the cartoons. Oh, I'm going to get that for my grandbaby. You know, whoa, you don't want this one for the grandbaby. There's some language in this one. You know,
right.
So the first page says, this book contains cussing and shit. It just tell you right up front so you don't go run out and get that for the grandbaby.
That's
but
right.
That one covers a lot of things in my life. Like, there's a page in there about my addiction called A Piece of Crack on Your Crack Attack. And when you get to that one, I am inside a cocaine vial.
Okay.
So on the top of it, it says RIP for rest in peace. Because when you're getting high, technically, your ass is dead. Technically, you have put your life on hold. That's a simple one called fly. You know how you tear your house up trying to kill one fly and the motherfucker still get away? He even tore the house up trying to kill that one fly. The fly way over there somewhere. That's my favorite one. That one's called Daddy by Phone because I have a daughter that I had out of wedlock. So her mother didn't let me see a whole lot of her until she was 7 and she wanted to see her daddy.
Right.
You know, and then once I got to see her, she was resistant. You know, because she felt like I didn't want her. It wasn't I didn't want her. I just couldn't have a mama at the time.
Right.
And so,
You know, that could be always translated to the child. You got somebody who's, you know, programming the mind of a child.
But, you know,
believe.
Her mother didn't. Her mother didn't do that. That's a good thing. I give her mama credit.
Well, that's great.
She never did that, but she was feeling that. But I would force her to be with me because I would make her know that I'm her daddy. I mean, I would go and take her places. I was like, we going to the Black Museum. She's like, Daddy, I'm not feeling good. Okay, you're not going to feel good at the Black Museum because we're going to picnics. We're going to libraries. And I was teaching her culture because I was determined to be her daddy, even if I was going to be her daddy by phone. So now she's 25, sings like an angel. Matter of fact, I'm sending her to Atlanta this week.
That's what's up.
To start her first album. And
that's
she's
going to
do
up.
7 tracks with this guy named Carl Solo. Do you know this producer, Carl Solo?
Maybe by face, not as much by
so
name.
But now she loves her daddy. We've come up together, and she's just so fly. But that's like one of my favorite poems. I got to show you.
Mm-hmm.
The piece of crack on your crack attack. Okay. So if you look at that, so the RIP is, I'm in a casket. That's why it has RIP on the top, because, you know, your life's on hold. No, it's a cocaine vial.
Yeah.
But with the RIP on it, rest in peace, it makes it a casket, because technically you dead when you getting high. If you look on my shoulders, that's a crack pipe. That was a weight I carried on my leg, was a crack rock. That's my ball and chain. My mother loved Barack Obama.
Yeah.
So I have one there called My Mama Likes Obama. But that's the second book. Those are two I'm already selling.
Right on.
And they moving. The new one,
yeah.
Michael Goes Motivational.
Okay,
that's the
now.
Shit.
Okay.
Michael Goes Motivational is...
This is a picture of a cover.
Yep, it's a picture of a cover.
And you say you just finished that today?
I finished this afternoon.
Okay.
But I'll have it in 2 days.
That's
I'm going through 48-hour
And you're self-publishing?
Book publishing. Yep, self-publishing through Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting on a black cruise tonight.
Black cruise?
Oh, yeah. Capital Jazz Super Cruise, brother.
Okay, now.
Oh, it's off the chain.
Well, what you got going on?
Oh, it's crazy. Oh, man. Some of the coldest, let me see that. Some of the coldest musical artists on the planet. We do this every year. This is my 7th year with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring the comedians, and they bring the top comedians and top musical artists. And we have 4,000 black people. We out there for 8 days on the cruise. And we have 3,000 people on the waiting list. I know Tom Joyner got a nice cruise, but this here,
this
is that on steroids, brother. And so we leave tonight for the Caribbean.
Well, I mean, I think that all of these things are like, these are the astronomical accomplishments, but nothing as impressive as being able to shake away from the life
of your addiction.
I mean, not just addiction, man. It's the lifestyle that comes with addiction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I feel
mm-hmm.
that so many brothers sisters are fighting with tearing themselves away from that lifestyle, who have enormous amounts of talent, enormous amounts of ability, but just, you know what I'm saying, can't necessarily turn away from the lifestyle that comes with addiction.
Brother, it's difficult, man, you know, because like any addiction, it is a disease of the mind, and it is an addiction of the spirit.
Right.
So, you know, for most people, it's psychological, but some of it is physiological, too, because my brother, who's a heroin addict, he is his physiological.
Physical dependence.
We almost lost him about 4 days ago. He had an overdose because he got bad fentanyl in his heroin.
Mm.
You know, this is a conversation that I'm having.
Sure.
How do I have that conversation? And he already ready to go back to the same spots we hang out.
Yeah.
So as an addict, we know we have to stay away from the people, places, and things that have that drug that we just love. Like, I miss crack. I remember the first year.
You miss crack.
Yeah, I miss crack. Every now and then, you'll still have an urge for it. Because, I mean, that first year, I missed it like the bad girlfriend. You don't want to fuck real good, but the bitch crazy.
That's right.
So you want to get the fuck out soon as y'all get out of here. Don't call me no more, bitch.
Calm them down.
Oh, yeah. No, it's you know, it's such an amazing psychological place that it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to train yourself that there are greater things.
Absolutely.
Like, for me, the gifts of sobriety way outweigh the gifts of getting high. You know, I lost more friends, more opportunities than I can name because I thought they're getting high. And when you high, you don't think people know. You don't think nobody know you high but you.
Right.
So you show up at auditions sweating like R. Kelly in the playground. Don't get mad. I know all you artists
but
are friends.
Man, I'm the exact opposite. Every time I'm high, I assume everybody can see it.
Oh, really?
See what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I
but you
I
ain't.
Like to get
it's
high.
A whole different one. You ain't hit that motherfucker rock. We hit that rock. That rock a different story now.
I ain't never even did cocaine before.
Wow, good for you.
I've never done cocaine.
God bless you. Good for you, man.
But look, I sold enough to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But listen, they say that like crack is, you know, a more affordable version of cocaine. But to be honest with you, aside from baking soda water and, you know what I'm saying, the process, the high is, you know, how does the high so much more addictive than it is for cocaine? And when you started to get money and become famous, did you not feel the transition?
Well, you know, that's when I started getting high.
When the money came.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robin Williams said it best, man. Cocaine is God's way of saying you're making too much goddamn money. So I mean, I didn't have the money before that. I was smoking weed, you know?
That's right.
And then I started getting paper, and somebody came, I had that first rock, you know, that first high. It's like a euphoric blast.
Mm.
That you end up chasing the rest of your life.
That's what they say. The first high is never as good as the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they say Sade meant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like the first time.
Never good
the
first time, because after that first time, you continue to try to get as high as you were when you were introduced to it, but you never will.
Exactly. I'm doing a one-man play. It's going to do 100 cities. It's called Michael Kaye's Mama.
Amazing.
If you like your mama, you're going to love to play. And what's really awesome about this play, we've already done 8 cities. I only got 92 left.
Okay.
What's amazing about it
Hurry up before you run out of town.
Though. Oh, yeah. No, we're going everywhere with this play. And
100 cities, that's a lot.
Oh, it is a lot. And my producer tells me no one's ever done 100 cities.
Mm.
But this story is fabulous. So I come from projects to make money, and to finding that rock.
Right.
And with that rock, I also had one night I broke into my own damn house. You hear me? I walk around with motherfucking TV before I realize this my place, And so in the play, I get to act it out, So I act out the addiction and the recovery and, sneaking in 3:30 in the morning, trying not to wake the missus up,
Right. So your wife didn't know you were smoking?
Oh, absolutely she knew.
She knew, okay.
Absolutely. She absolutely knew. And it was weird because I am transforming as I do the play.
Okay.
I am unfolding into my greater self. Every time I do this play, I learn something else about my family and my life. So when I first started doing the play, I used to talk about the fact that I would sneak in, and once I was glad she was settled in bed and settled with the fact that I was home, then I go into the bathroom. I sit on the floor for 2 hours with that broken piece of glass and that extra rock I brought for my backup. And so I sit in there butt naked for 2 hours getting high, and she would never knock on that door and say, "Get out of there and don't be in here smoking." And, I don't know if she was asleep or if she was pretending to be asleep, but I sort of held it against her that she didn't knock on that door and say, "Motherfucker, don't be doing that here and, get yourself together." And so I would say that on stage.
Right.
And then in the middle of the performance, I stopped myself and I said, "Wait a minute. I should have never put her in that position."
That's real.
She shouldn't had to have sit there or laid there pretending to be asleep if she was pretending. Because I don't know if she was. I don't want to say she was.
Right.
And I don't want to be throwing her under fucking bus.
Did you ever have any discussions about your addiction? Like, she never approached you and said, "We need to make some changes"? Or?
Well, of course she would always say, "You need to stop." She was trying to tell me to stop, but I wasn't trying to hear it. What I'm saying? So I can't blame her at all. And it wasn't her place to stop me.
That's real.
It wasn't her job to do that, and I shouldn't have put her in that position.
That's real.
But the realization of it didn't hit me until I was in the middle of the performance.
Mm.
And I was on the floor, on the stage, taking my blast and talking about it when I went, "Shit, I'm sitting here waiting for her to save me."
Right.
But it wasn't her place to save me.
That's real.
Wasn't nobody going to save me. If I was going to be saved, I had to save my damn self.
Absolutely.
And that realization didn't really hit me till I was in the middle of this play.
Right.
So I'm learning all the time, and it's healing people nationally. Like when I did it in Chicago at the DuSable Museum of African American History, the politicians there gave me $5,000 to buy tickets for other addicts so that they could come to the play and be inspired.
That's dope.
Because the story is, I did all that shit, but a lot of times we think that success is linear path. It never is.
Hey, say, check it, man. Here's a little tip for you. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business, okay? That's what NetSuite by Oracle has set out to solve. Because most companies don't have a clear picture of their finances, and that's why many businesses fail. The question for any business owner out there is, are you confident that you've got the right numbers at your fingertips? NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances, all in one place, all in real time, right from your phone to your desktop. No more guessing, estimating, or worrying that what you don't know could kill your company, all right?
Schedule your free product tour right now and receive your free guide, 6 Ways to Run a More Profitable Business, at netsuite.com/TIP.
You heard right, netsuite.com/TIP. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, man. This is just from my experience, man. I think back to my humble beginnings as a drug dealer. And the network of people that I've met, know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Up until today, the drug addicts have definitely outlived the drug dealer.
They always outlive the addict always outlives the dealer.
The drug addict always outlive the
That's
drug
clear.
Dealer.
That's clear.
You know what I'm saying? It's people who still smoke it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, bro, you still alive?
No, I go to Venice Beach.
You better not stop. No, that might be what's keeping you
I go
you
to
around.
Venice and see brothers who was out there when I was doing comedy was getting high.
Right.
And they still tweaking and walking fast right now.
Right.
And I'm like, they have so much shit in them, nothing can kill them. You know, they're like Supermen, man. And I thank God for that, because God turned it all around for me. So I thank God that I'm not there, because I could have been there. That's anybody real. Could be there.
That's how I feel about the life. My life is a drug deal. I thank God that I was blessed to be able to do what I love for a living.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But listen, about your career, because it's been a very, very legendary one. You have played some of the most memorable characters. You know what I'm saying? Which one was the most fun? Because I remember House Party.
Well, of course, that's the most fun. Showboat was the
Showboat
most fun
was
because
hell.
They let me go.
Yeah.
You know, they just let me go. You know, so that was really cool. The greatest thing really is the play I'm doing now, because I'm really discovering myself.
Well, but, the one-man show, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one-man show.
Hey, man, can't nobody fuck that up but you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm doing 55 minutes with a 15-minute intermission, then 45 minutes, and I'm playing 17 characters.
That's dope.
So I'm all over the place with that, and I'm getting to discover all kind of things. But House Party was just crazy fun. It was so much fun, and they gave me an outline, and then they let me create who Showboat
no
was.
No script, just, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
just
they had a script, but it was a very loose script, you know? And what I'm trying to do now is put together my own, you know? So we shot some specs on it, but I'm trying to do Showboat's House Party. So 25 years later, we have a 8-story mansion.
Eight-story?
Oh, it's off the chain, brother. It's crazy. It's 8 stories. On the 6th level is a nightclub in this dude's house, brother.
Okay.
So we shooting Showboat at his 8-story mansion.
What was Showboat doing? Showboat was a pimp, wasn't he?
Well, no, he's a music promoter, man.
People keep thinking
he is a pimp.
I thought he was a pimp.
So kids gonna come back and do it with
me. I thought the music executive thing was just like, to wash the money from pimping.
Yeah, that's what y'all supposed to do. Y'all supposed to think, But yeah, you know he was doing his little thing.
Man, he was getting it. Showboat getting a lot of bread, man.
And Showboat is still alive every day. Every day people come up to me and quote lines that I don't remember.
Right.
You know, because this was 20 years ago, some shit, 25. People come up and quote them like they heard it yesterday, because they did hear it yesterday. They show this shit every day.
That's
somewhere.
Real.
So that was cool. You know, playing Gina's boss on Martin.
That was
a lot
also
of fun.
Dope. When she had the headboard on her head.
But because Martin's such a class actor.
Man.
Working with that dude is so, so classy. You know? So that was cool. You know, I liked working with Murphy, Eddie Murphy, and the thing where he played the big fat woman.
Doolittle, Dr. Doolittle. Professor Clump. Nutty Professor. Norbit.
Thank you. He know my shit.
You said the fat
Norbit.
Woman.
Respucia.
Yeah. Okay,
oh, my God.
Okay,
people love that. But I think really my best role was the animation. You know, I did The Princess and the Frog.
Mm.
And that was so cool to go to Disney Studios, which is underground, which I didn't even know they had underground in L.A., in a city that's got motherfucking earthquakes. I don't know why you have some shit underground. But anyway, they take you underground, and then they open it up. And when they open it up, there's all the original artwork from all the Disney classics on the wall.
Right.
And then, after you sign up, after you sign the contract, then they come and they hand you the picture of you animated. That's some fly shit, you know? And just to be able to get in there and create that character from that is so cool, you know? I mean, I'm most grateful, really, for just God giving me an opportunity to still be here and doing what I love to do.
That's right.
And doing it at the top of my game. And me not getting caught. I mean, I almost got killed out there one night trying to buy some crack from this brother in Rialto. And he went in his pocket to get the dope. I thought he was going for a pistol. I played like I had a pistol. This motherfucker pulled one out for real. I'm like, damn.
You had to be
there. Yeah. And he was like, motherfucker, what you doing? I said, oh, man, I just nervous. Man, get your punk ass out of here. So I end up going home without the dope. It was a terrible night.
That was a horrible night.
It was a horrible night all the way around. Didn't work out for nobody. So that's the great gift is, though, that we learn down the road that everything really is about family and God.
That's real.
So once you get family and God down, everything else really takes care of itself. So the gifts of sobriety, I have this awesome queen, the woman I've been looking for my entire life, brother. Any place I've ever looked for a woman, I was looking for her. I'd look for her before I came to this planet.
Mm.
Oh, she a bad motherfucker.
Okay, now.
She can't walk on water, but she damn near can't. She a bad motherfucker.
By her, you mean sobriety?
No, I mean my woman.
Your wife.
My queen.
Okay, got you.
My goddess, man. Kelly, she's amazing. But beyond being fine as frog's hair. You ever see frog hair? You
I'm
can't see
I
it.
I'm
it's too motherfucking fine.
Yeah, I mean,
you must use a microscope.
It lay down easy.
Oh, yeah, it lay down real easy.
It lay down easy.
And she's just amazing and spiritual. In fact, I'm sending her to Egypt. She's going to Egypt for 2 weeks with 21 other sisters for the Sacred Sisters Retreat, where they're going to meditate. They're going to get in the waters at the West Bank and go to all the pyramids and Giza and Kemet. You know, but she's just so awesome. That's a gift of sobriety.
Right,
I couldn't get her if I was still out there getting high.
That's
you know
real.
What I'm saying? Because also it just happens that she's sober too. And she's done her dances right. with substances, and now she's sober. I met her at the coldest church in the world, Agape. You know, but
the
also.
The coldest church in the world. Now, that's something I want to talk about, because we're talking about churches, and you talk. Mm-hmm. And we both have a very close connection with God.
Yes.
Probably more so because of what we have seen Him do in our lives.
Right.
And that's something that can't no preacher show us, no rabbi.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There ain't nobody that, like, you got to see that for yourself.
And I'm not religious, I'm spiritual.
You see, that's the thing. Now, that's the difference, because you said the coldest church in the world.
Yeah.
So, now, when you go to church, what is it that you actually look at? Is it just that you're just going to see a good show, or like,
well,
what
our,
is
it? Our church is really not a church. It's called the International Center of Faith.
Okay.
So anybody who could come, as long as you believe in that higher spirit, that thing that's greater than you.
Something greater than
everything
you.
From nothing. See, I think religion is what people believe that that there is a hell. Spiritual people. No, we already been there. So I'm not in no space where I'm worried about going somewhere. I'm in it already. Wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be. God is already with me and knows me. And He ain't judging me. He ain't sent somewhere, you know, taking notes. Okay, he fucked up, smoked that rack today. Oh, he just fucked a hole. Let me put that down. You know, oh, wait, he did something nice. He helped a lady. I'm going to take off 2 points. He ain't sitting around doing nothing like that. I mean, at least
how I agree.
I worship. I don't think that people who be talking, well, I gotta ask God for forgiveness. I don't think God ever been mad at you. He ain't never been pissed. Why he pissed off at you? How could he be pissed off with you when he already know everything you gonna do?
That's
you
real.
Think you can surprise him? He didn't see that shit coming. Fuck out of here. How you gonna surprise him? You can't surprise him.
Hell
you know
no.
what I'm saying? And when they say stuff like hellfire and brimstone, you gonna burn. Man, look, I got a son. He fought it. He ain't shit. But I wouldn't want him to burn his finger, brother, let alone his whole hand for 5 minutes, let alone for eternity.
Yeah.
And I don't have the capacity to love that God does.
That's
so
right.
So certain things. So I sent a Reverend Michael Beckwith.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about spiritual truth and light and how we live and how we love and lift each other up.
Right.
I mean, you walk out feeling that you are what you're supposed to be, man. Everything is in divine order, man. If things are supposed to be different, they'd be different.
That's real.
You
now,
know?
Now, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you could get that same feeling if you just stay home and meditate it to yourself?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because this thing that we want to call God, or you want to call it whatever you want, God don't care what you call Him, because He comes in so many different forms,
right,
resides in the center of your heart.
Yeah.
So the closer you can get to God, the closer you get to your heart.
Mm.
And that's an inside job.
That's real.
You ain't got to be nobody. Wait, I got to tell you this joke. So this guy, he dies and goes wherever you go in the end. And so the guy's taking him around. He said, look, over there, them the Christians.
Uh-huh.
Now over there, them the Buddhists. Over there, them the Hindus. He said, why you keep whispering? He said, because they all think they're the only ones here. You know? So, yeah.
Man, see, but you kind of go into these, like, these conversational bits.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is that like you just kind of working on your craft, testing that material? Like, is the world your stage?
It is. Every place I am is my stage. And I'm always learning stuff, and I'm learning mostly, every time I'm learning stuff about you, I'm learning about me.
That's real.
So it's getting me closer and closer to my joy. But yeah, meditation, prayer meditation can take you wherever you want to go. It can get you out of any trouble. Prayer has saved my life more times Van Camps has pork and beans, and it don't matter. And it don't matter what the situation is. Prayer makes it better.
Man, I've seen you. I believe you perform at the Comedy Store, if I ain't mistaken.
I do the store, and I do improv. And
it could have been. It was one of the local comedy clubs. Cause that's mm-hmm. something me and my old lady do. We just mm-hmm. pop up in comedy clubs.
Y'all
just
came check to see out. Me in Atlanta at Uptown.
Yep,
for her birthday.
Yep.
Wait, do you remember this? It was a damn roach on the wall. It was big as your thumb, and he was walking down the wall near y'all table, and I think you looked at it and said, oh, is he with you? It was like crazy where you came from with this shit. It was like, oh, is he with you? I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Man, but what I was going to say is you have one of like some of the strongest stage presence. Like you can command the attention of the entire audience from the stage and direct them to look this way or to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it was one bit that you had where you'll say something two or three times, and then like the third time, you had them say it for you.
Right.
And you didn't say it, you didn't tell them to say it.
Right.
You just kind of motioned it.
That's a good observation.
Like, where does that ability come from?
I think from the beach. You know, I did Venice Beach for 9 years.
You were the king. They dubbed you the king of Venice Beach.
Oh, yeah, they put my feet and hands out there in concrete to commemorate it. But for 9 years.
And Venice Beach came up. You'd have bought you just a little bit of piece of patch of grass right there.
Man,
it'd have been
popping, brother.
It'd be a little bit ass hotel on that motherfucker.
I was too busy smoking the grass to buy it, you know? But no, I was there for 9 years. I did 5 one-hour shows every Saturday and Sunday without fail. You know, so being surrounded by 700-800 people at a time, they was always trying to pick at me while I'm working.
But look, though, so you say outside on the corner.
Yeah, I stood right on the boardwalk. And was surrounded by 500 to 700 people each show.
Is that where you was discovered to do Def Comedy Jam?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Bernie Mac got me Def Comedy Jam.
Gotcha.
Bernie Mac had already known me from doing comedy, and I had just started doing Venice Beach.
Okay.
And I hadn't even heard of Def Jam. He got me on and insisted they put me on.
Right.
You know, and that was cool because they liked it so much I did 6 seasons, you know.
Right.
So that was off the chain. But Venice, there's no education like standing in with everybody, white, black, young, old, gay, straight,
right,
people who don't speak English, people who don't speak at all.
Right.
And they stay in that hot sun for 40 minutes, and then I spend 20 minutes getting my money.
You did,
and
what
I'm
saying?
And I did that shit for 9 years. So I'm going back out and shooting it this May, and we're building a stage that looks like a king's crown. I stand in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
It's called the King of Venice Beach. But that's why I learned the spontaneity. I don't care what you talk about it. I can go with you. I don't care what the topic is, what we're talking about. I can do. And so that's what the audience. I know how to move the audience, how to watch the audience. I'm never on the stage, and there's anybody I can't see in the room, anywhere in the room. I see what's going on, who's moving, and so I incorporate that into the show.
Hey, say, man, do you have a business that you need to hire for? And a lot of motherfuckers out there looking for a job right now. So you need to listen up, man, because hiring could be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/TI. Now, ZipRecruiter sends your job over to 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they won't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, all of my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/TI. That's right, ZipRecruiter.com/TI. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now, so I know that there's been talks, much like music or hip-hop is concerned, there's been a lot of controversy and talks about the validity of a comedian if he doesn't write his own jokes. The same way motherfuckers talk about rappers and if he can really be king if he doesn't write his own shit. How do you feel about that? Do you write all your own material?
I love old jokes. Let me tell you something. I don't think an old joke should die just because the motherfucker that wrote it did. He can't use it no more. Red Fox is one of the greatest comedians in the world.
Absolutely.
He did 75 comedy albums. Nigga, Red is dead. He can't use them jokes no more. We supposed to throw away 75 albums of great comedy?
Right.
Fuck no. I tell them to you. You tell them at work. You're a hero.
Right,
and you pay no royalty. So no, my show is always peppered with jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people are bringing me jokes all the time. So I blend them in, but my stories, I always do stories.
Mm.
So I talk about the addiction and weave it in, so it's a comedy piece. Or I talk about, you know, the things that actually happened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about that.
That's some shit you got to write.
I discover some shit. Like, I discover some new shit every day.
Okay.
The other day I realized you shouldn't clean your glasses with your drawers. Okay, so tell you how I discovered this. I was doing the improv in Florida, somewhere in Tampa. Right. And I got back to my room, you know, at the end of the night, you know, you worked all night, you signed autographs, sold a bunch of shit, because I sell everything in my show.
Right.
I sell books, CD, DVD, fish sandwiches, I don't give a fuck. So I get back to the room, right? So I'm laying there butt naked trying to watch TV, so I get that menu. They got that menu in the room where you can order shit and they bring it. They deliver it. But I couldn't read the shit, because I can't see shit without, I got glasses in every room of my house, in the toilet, the kitchen, refrigerator, everywhere. I got glasses.
You ever thought about LASIK?
Nah, I ain't fucking with my eye like that. So so I find my glasses and they're a little smudge, you know? So I'm looking for something to wipe them off with. The only thing I had was my drawers was laying right there in the bed, so I wiped them off with my drawers. They were nice and clean, too. So I started reading the menu, and I just kept on smelling ass. And I'm like, I don't think this is a good move, you know? I don't think so.
Hell no.
Stuff like that, and then it's just written. It's written. It's done.
Yeah.
I walk on stage the next day, I talk about that shit, and it's funny shit. But then I always connect little jokes. You know, I like to throw jokes out that people can go back and tell, because that's easy, and no one do jokes anymore.
That's
they don't
real.
Because folks say, yeah, you just got to do routines to be authentic. All I have to do is be funny, to be authentic, you know? And I come out and I bring me, and I can look at the audience and fuck with people and say funny shit, you
right.
know?
Well, you, man, listen, you have also, like, lived within, like, I think maybe 4 or 5 great ages of comedy.
I'm an old motherfucker. I see what you're saying. I think I see where we're going with this.
You know what I'm saying? We're like, what era do you think was, you know what I'm saying, the, I don't want to say best, but the most impactful era? Do you think, like, of course, because there was fucking Dick Gregory, Red Fox, before there was Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby.
Right,
and
right.
Then there was Eddie and Bernie Mac, and you know what I'm saying? So, like, what era do you think?
I know comedy history.
And now you even had like Dave Chappelle, which
Dave's
is
so fucking brilliant.
Yeah, he's
so fucking brilliant.
He's a philosopher, a comedian, you know, he's
such
really
a beast. And you know a boy he mentioned, Tony Woods. Do you know Tony Woods?
Mm-mm.
So he mentioned Tony Woods when he got his award at Mark Twain,
yeah.
And who he looks at. So that's who I just spent Saturday performing with in New York is Tony Woods. Tony Woods, you go crazy watching him.
I need to check him out.
Oh, he's so fucking amazing. And he'll come up and do the whole show without doing the show. He said this weekend, he said, well, you know, I'm doing a new kind of comedy. Y'all might have noticed, because regular comedy shows, there's a lot of laughing.
Right.
We ain't doing that shit tonight. We do a different shit. I mean, he's just so smart. But Dave is sharp. I think very impactful for me was the early Def Jam era.
Mm.
That was real impactful.
Martin.
I came up with a lot of comics. So when I came in, we started the Comedy Act Theater.
Okay.
I was there day one with them. So Comedy Act Theater, what Robin Harris was. He was the MC of that.
Dope.
And all of us started at the same time. Robert Townsend was part of that.
Dope.
The Wayans brothers. And so that was like a real impactful era, because all of a sudden, America was open to black comedians.
Right.
Before that, you had one guy over here and one guy over there, and if he was a big black comic, he worked, but it wasn't 10 black comics nowhere. So that era brought on Def Jam. Def Jam let anybody who felt like they had the courage to do comedy do it. Unfortunately, a lot of comics start thinking that cussing is comedy. Cussing ain't comedy. Now, if the joke is motherfucker, then you ain't got no joke. You know, that can be the emphasis on it, but it can't be the joke itself, you know? So for a while, we had a flood about 30, 40, just hot comics. And at that era, you had guys who had class. Like, Bernie had class.
That's right.
So Bernie would bring people along.
Right.
We don't have comics who really bring you anymore. You have comics who get their piece, and they make sure ain't too many other niggas nearby. But when Bernie was coming, Bernie's like, he pick up the phone. He roll with you. He bring people and try to help you go along, because it's really enough.
Mm.
It's really enough for everybody.
That's
it's
real.
Plenty of shit, you know?
Because your intellectual property is you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
What you took from your life experiences and how you can convey that message and make people laugh. And can't nobody do your story like you.
Ain't nobody else going to admit to smoking crack. You know?
Well, you know, a few might.
But they ain't going to do it as a joke. They ain't going to talk for a minute. You know, I found myself in hotel rooms smoking with motherfuckers I generally wouldn't talk to on the street, you know? So, you know, so I know what it could be like, and I'm really honored And please that God allowed me to do that dance. Yeah. Because everything that happened to us brings us where we are now.
Whatever don't kill you will build you.
Yeah, I don't curse anything. I bless all of it. Plus, everything that happened 10 minutes ago is already over. So now I'm on to the new adventure.
Yeah.
You know, my new adventure is a motherfucker, man. I'm writing books. I'm doing plays. I'm having the time of my life,
keep
man.
It, you keep it moving, man. You
I'm keep doing
you
shit
You keep
now.
The hustle moving, man. Yeah. And that's something I can appreciate because I find myself, you know, having to reinvent and recreate opportunities for me and the people around me. And for you, man, it's been, what, 30 years? 33 years.
Man, I did it when you was three.
Yeah, well, six.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if your math bad or you just thought I was a little younger than
I. I just threw some shit out there. I ain't got a clue.
I mean, so listen, what about the new age of comedians? Now we have social media, Instagram, other means besides actually
some of the
putting
social media
your feet
guys
on
are
your
actually
stage.
Funny. And some of them just understand the craft of how to use social media. I wish I knew better. I'm trying to learn that. You know, right. I mean, I'm technically retarded. I'm thinking about renting a teenager because they know all that shit.
Man,
they
I got take, a few of them, man. What's your budget, man?
Man, it's a short budget, but let's talk about it. Because they take a phone and become Picasso, man. They are artists with the shit. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to figure out the social media thing.
That's real.
My friend Michael Blackson, he learned that shit.
Man, Michael Blackson, one of the funniest guys. And
funny.
DC Young Fly is also.
DC Young Fly is so funny. I'm going to say this, I'm going to make all of them mad, but I think that if you look at Chris Tucker close enough, you'll see Michael Collier. If you look at DC Young Fly, you'll see Chris Tucker.
Mm.
And what was deep to me is that all three of us did a stage here about 3 months ago.
For real?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
and it
fine.
Was off the chain. And DC, I love watching him tell his story. He puts his whole physical body in it.
That's
his
right.
His whole energy is in it, you know. So, no, he's great. That guy with him, Carlos Miller.
Yeah,
ain't
Carlos
no
Miller,
fucking
dope
joke.
As hell.
Either. So
Miller,
it's a lot of cats that's coming who are hot and funny. I just think it's room for everybody. Everybody should help everybody, encourage everybody. I can't do all the work.
Yeah.
So I try to, you know, get stuff I ain't doing other people, but the same token, I'm constantly creating. We have to keep creating. That's why I just wrote a new book. And the new book, Michael, goes motivational. When you hear about that bad, I'll be selling it out the back of my car and every place else.
You ain't happy with your smile, man. I mean, are you tired of feeling self-conscious in photo? Well, why not make this the year for you to strain your teeth? And you could use Candid. Candid delivers clear aligners directly to you and strains your teeth for thousands less than braces. Unlike braces, Candid clear aligners are comfortable, removable, and totally invisible. So you can transform your smile without anyone ever noticing a thing. Plus, you never have to set foot in the doctor's office or a waiting room. Your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist. Unlike other companies, Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists. With other remote clear aligner options, you may never hear from a doctor at all as you go through your treatment. That means your treatment will be designed by an expert in tooth movement. You know what I mean? Are you looking ahead to wedding season or a special event? No, you'll be taking pictures, I'm sure. With Candid, the average treatment length is just 6 months, and you'll start seeing results way before then. I mean, well, you know, I guess none of us are going to be moving as much as we used to, so you might well take the time to get yourself together, try and get your teeth straight, man. So you ready to take the first step towards straighter teeth? For a limited time, you can get started with $75 off by using code TI at CandidCO.com/TI. That's CandidCO.com. /TI. Use code TI for $75 off. It's CandidCO.com/TI. Code TI. And also, man, one of my favorites in the game, man, Mike Epps.
Oh, I love Mike Epps.
Mike Epps
is so funny.
Yeah,
He told me I can come on stage and fuck with him if I'm in the room. So I'm waiting for him to be in the same city with me and be performing. I'm just going to walk out on stage.
Cat Williams.
And fuck with him. Cat Williams is a genius, though. Cat Williams is really, really, really a genius at this shit.
That's real.
For real. I mean, some of the stuff he says, it just blows my mind. But there's some chop. There's a guy named Tony Roberts.
Tony Roberts.
Tony Roberts is a beast.
I heard of Tony Roberts.
Tony Roberts.
I've seen him on Comic View.
Yeah, very strong too. It's some really strong
Tony Roberts. He got the thing with his face. He can make his face do a lot of different
shit. Oh, I don't
shit.
Know. I know he do this thing about shitting. And I had to put one foot up against the door to make sure don't nobody walk in on you. It gets so good you have to take your pants off so you can really stretch out. He's just stupid funny, you know.
What about Chris Rock?
Chris Rock is very funny. He's funny.
And see, now, I'm just giving you...
I think he's a particular taste, though. But he's funny.
He dangerous funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says brilliant things. Like, he said to me one of the smartest lines ever. He said, he didn't say it to me, but he said it to the audience. He said that we were born, black people, we were born suspects.
Mm.
That's some of the sharpest, smartest, funniest shit ever in a single line.
Yeah.
We're born suspects, and it's so true. You know, I'm watching these white guys now with these fucking cameras. I'm scared of motherfuckers. I don't know what the fuck gonna happen. But hey. I know you got security. I saw the big dude come in.
Well,
I walked up to your big dude. I said, you don't want to carry the pistol, right? He said, yeah, I carry the pistol. I said, okay, we're gonna be all right.
Yeah. Hey, so what about, like, okay, because you mentioned, because black comedy is different from white comedy.
It is different.
Because black people are born with comedy in our veins. We got to laugh to keep from crying, take our mind off of poverty and hunger.
And we got shit we've been through.
Exactly.
So we got more shit to laugh about.
Exactly.
You know?
And I mean, I know everybody has a struggle. Everybody has a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Who you think is the funniest white comedian that you've heard?
Wow. Motherfucker dead. Because Robin Williams, to me, was an absolute genius. Although I think Steve Martin is absolutely brilliant, too. I wish he would do more comedy. Now he playing banjo and shit.
He's playing the banjo.
Yeah, he playing bluegrass all over the place. But he's really, really, really brilliant. I don't know off the top of my head. Who,
now, listen, there's a gentleman that I have, I started just now kind of, you know what I'm saying, looking into.
Was it George Carlin?
It is George Carlin.
Oh, no, George
exactly
Carlin was the shit.
George
I have
Carlin.
A piece of tape on him somewhere that I have to find because I was trying to put together an AIDS tape in 86.
Right.
People were dying everywhere of AIDS, and they was calling it the gay white man's disease. They didn't realize they don't discriminate, and everybody get fucked up. And so I was going around to all these celebrities shooting video of them. I shot the woman who played Maud. What was her name? The white actress, and she was just amazing. And I went to his home and shot him. And he did this poem, and he was talking about he was talking about people don't like to wear condoms because they feel like it's not cool.
Mm.
He said, you know, it's really not cool. Dying. Dying ain't cool. So be alive. Don't be cool. You know, it was just so smooth how he took the words and twisted the words. No, he's a genius.
Yeah.
And all the stuff he was talking about then
is happening right now.
Goes on right now.
Absolutely.
With your guy.
You know.
I heard you.
I guess I'm a ex-con. He's a present con. You know, convict. I guess the only thing that associates us is criminality.
Who are we talking about?
The guy you voted in the White House.
Oh, no.
No, we got your ballot, Mr. Carr.
They put me off 6 times off FaceTime for fucking with him.
Cause you mean Facebook?
On Facebook. I put on a blonde wig. And I said, I'm Donald Trump, bitch. And I do this whole piece coming. Whatever crazy shit he said that week,
right.
I'll be repeating that shit like it's okay to say it. They took me off. They said, you can't play at the president like that. They took me out for a day. They brought me back. I did it again. Took me out for 3 days. I did it again. Took me out for 3 weeks. I did it again. Took me out for 6 months. Then I stopped.
Because
I really sort of want to use FaceTime. You know, so.
Facebook.
No.
Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
See, I told you.
It's okay, man.
I got to get a teenager.
We got to get a teenager in here, man.
Yeah, somebody help me with this shit, man.
It might be a little more expensive than you're thinking, but I mean, I got some teenagers.
Yes.
I got 3-4 teenagers you can get.
Damn. I hope they take EBT.
Is there any topic when you're joking, right,
mm-hmm.
you're coming up with jokes, is there any topic for you that is off limits, that you feel is too dangerous and too...
No, I don't think there should be. I don't think it really should be. I wouldn't joke about rape.
Mm.
You know, I just wouldn't. I think that's too painful and hurtful for women.
Right.
So I think
and
you
men.
Would be yeah, and men.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it would be more
rape
painful.
Knows no gender.
Yeah, it would be that's true, and it would be painful, more painful than the comic payoff.
Mm.
Some people say, "Well, I'll say anything." I won't just say anything because I don't want to fuck the audience up. I want to make them laugh, but I don't want to make them low. So, like, I won't make fun of a person and hurt his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I won't do that.
Right.
I'll make fun of you where you'll laugh at you too.
Right.
But I won't make fun of you where you feel like I made you feel like an asshole in front of 200 or 300 people.
Right.
I'm not going to do that because I want your money next month.
You know?
You know?
If you are starting your own business, this is what you need to know. Don't let the worry of legal setup fees and contracts stress you out, man. You can start your business right now at LegalZoom.com. Use code TI. It's ridiculously easy. Over the past 19 years, LegalZoom has helped more than 2 million Americans start their businesses by incorporating, forming LLCs, and more.
But even after your business is set up, LegalZoom can still help you out with a lot more, okay? Things like lease agreements, changing tax law, and reviewing contract all play a part in running your own business. KC out in LA, he's a producer for Expeditionally. He's been using LegalZoom for his personal needs for years. Now, when he wanted to set up his business, he didn't have big money, and you know, for attorneys who ride the clock on you, you know what I'm saying, run their tab up high as they can. You know attorneys like that, Mac?
I sure do.
Yeah, well, you know. Now you don't have to worry about that no more, because LegalZoom going to help you. You dig what I'm saying? LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys and tax professionals can provide advice to address these things and more. You'll never get charged by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. All right, so what you need to do is go to LegalZoom.com today and enter promo code TIP. Put that in the box at checkout for your special savings. That's LegalZoom.com and use code TIP. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
You know who I feel like was one of the greatest at taboo topics and making bad jokes
Rickles
sound good? I was going to say Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, Patrice O'Neal, he was the best man that ever lived. Patrice, he was the absolute fucking best, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Patrice O'Neal, man. His delivery, his style so relaxed.
Yep.
Yeah, man, he could talk about pussy and you just like, damn, I thought we was talking about something in encyclopedia. He just, he makes pussy conversational, you know?
It's
brilliant.
When I saw, I guess, one of his most watched specials, and he actually joked about the thing that killed him, which was, I think, high blood pressure, cholesterol. Like, he had, like, and he said that during this special, he was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got long, so I'm gonna live to the fullest. I think that's every comedian's, like, that's their aim. They hope to make people, or make even themselves at times, laugh at pain so much till the pain don't hurt no more.
Yeah, I think you want to peel your skin away.
Yeah.
And give it to them raw on stage.
Right.
Let them know where you're really, really coming from. The few people can do it and pull it off.
Yeah.
When you can do that and pull it off, it is a level of genius that's respected by other artists, even artists who aren't comics. Just, you know, because mastery is what it's all about at the end of the day. Self-mastery.
That's
you know, mastering your spiritual life, your physical life, the production you do, your love life. To master it all is what it's about. And masters recognize masters.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I like you when I first saw you,
because
you know, man, I said, that motherfucker about. And that was just when I only knew musically. And then the first time I heard you have a conversation, I was like, man, this nigga had a book or something. What the fuck is going on? You're just so sharp and responsible.
Well, I don't know about that point. You're giving me a little too much credit now.
Speak responsibly.
Okay,
I don't know what the fuck you're doing when you leave here.
You know, we use that word very loosely.
Very loosely.
So.
Yeah,
now, has Michael Collier ever told a bad joke?
Not that I know of. I've never had a bad set. Only time I've ever performed and nobody laughed was we went to war with the Middle East.
Uh-huh.
And on that day, I had a gig at the Naval Base.
Mm.
And I performed for 6 minutes, and ain't nobody laugh at shit.
What?
And finally, Joan Rivers came over, and she said, you are very brave to even try to do comedy here on this day, because everybody's about to ship out.
Yeah.
And nobody laughed. But other than that, no, I don't fail at this shit. I'm good at this.
Here's another question.
Okay.
Now, you may have a more creative answer.
Okay.
Which set is better, the set when you were high or the set now that you're sober?
Never did a set when I was high.
You never did a set when you was high?
No. You mean actively high or during the times I was being high?
No, like the high. On stage.
Never been high on stage. Not once. Nah. I respect what I do.
That's real.
I really respect this craft. I respect my audience. You know? So
that kind of discipline for an addict
is
far and few between.
It's real discipline. But you know, as soon as I get off stage, I have some place to go. Come hold me up. I got some place to go. But never on stage. You know, I never really wanted to be found out.
That's real.
I didn't get found out till I came out and
That's right.
talked about it.
Gotcha.
You know, and I realized that I needed to talk about it because it's healing.
Right.
There's so many people who really want to stop.
Right.
And they say to me, how'd you do it? I mean, I did crack 23 years.
Mm.
And, you know, people that have been doing it 23 months think they can never stop. And this bullshit, you can. It ain't easy.
That's right.
But you can. You know, as long as you keep God first, man, as long as you decide that you value your life more than that dying shit. That dying shit ain't nothing. I don't know what's gonna happen when we die, but I dig being here.
That's right.
I dig the living
shit.
That shit
to do, man.
It's fun.
You got the inhale and the exhale.
I like
that
food.
Shit is good.
All kind of shit. It's good.
You know
fucking.
Yeah,
I want to be here.
God made anything better than pussy. He kept it for himself.
Man, yes, he did. It's in a steel box in heaven, nigga. I know what the fuck he did with that one. Yeah.
I mean, man. Well, I appreciate you and thank you for sharing your vision,
you.
Your talents. And using your stories and experiences to help others and have them to know that they're not the only ones that's going through the shit.
That's
and there
important.
Is an there is another side to this shit.
That's important.
And you're an example.
And me healing other people is healing me.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm constantly healing more and more as I see the addicts, which what addicts are supposed to do. Now, me, I'm not anonymous. Okay, so I go I go to Cocaine Anonymous, and they don't always like me at the meeting because I'm not anonymous.
Right.
I talk about it. Everywhere.
That's
and people
right.
say, well, why are you telling me? I said, motherfucker, I'm telling everybody.
That's
so,
right.
because I want my story to be so clear that you ain't gonna never see me nowhere high. If you see me somewhere high, you can come and slap the fuck out of me. Everybody on the planet know that. If you see me with a joint or take a sip, just come up and slap the shit out of me. Because I don't do that. And I put it out there clearly. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's healing. I think a lot of people are learning from it and you know, getting back to themselves. Because it's more fun, man. You when you can taste the food. Food tastes good, Nick.
Man, hey, listen, thank you so much for joining us here.
All right, let me tell folks where to find me, man.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Before we do that, we have a tradition here, Expeditiously.
Okay.
And it is the word of the week.
The word of the week.
Yes, the word of the week. And the word of the week is usually a word that probably goes with the person I'm talking to or the conversation. And another thing that we haven't spoken on much, but another thing I noticed about you is you have your own flair when it comes to style, fashion, how you dress, how you present yourself. Mm-hmm. So because of that, mm-hmm. I thought that this word, the word for this week should be haberdasher.
That's my word. I knew you was going to say that.
You knew I was going to say it.
I knew you were going to say it. Because
you know
I am haberdasher, brother. I'm a connoisseur of fine haberdashery. That's my shit.
Okay, listen.
Yeah, haberdash is my thing, brother. I love clothes, man.
Okay, well,
that's
listen.
My new drug, actually. Once I stopped doing crack, I stopped buying shit that's crazy. I shot my ass off. You saw these shoes?
That's real. Yeah. The motherfuckers look like you made them just for you.
Yes, sir. There ain't but one pair on the planet, brother.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, you see somebody else in this shit, they stole some shit. You better tackle them motherfuckers. They're doing some illegal shit.
Hey, man. So, haberdashery is defined as men's clothing and mm-hmm. accessories. Mm-hmm. Now, I like to use it in a sentence now so people who listen can go off and share it at the water cooler at work like they've known the word their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Something that me and Michael Collier have in common is that we both are connoisseurs of fine haberdashery.
That's right.
Yes.
That's the way to use it, man.
Right.
That's exactly what
Well, listen, man. So now tell people where they can find you and tell them everything that you want them to know.
Okay. First of all, I'm easy to find. I'm on everything. I'm on Facebook as Michael Collier. I'm on Instagram as Michael_Collier. That's Collyar. I have a sexy web page called TheRealMichaelCollier.com, which actually tells everything I'm doing. The show Michael Collier's Mama, if you go in there, hit the tab called Mama, it'll open up. It'll tell you about the story. It'll show you 6 minutes of the play. It's a calendar that shows you where I'm going around the country. I'm an email. You can email me at comicking123, because I don't even know how they had a show called The Kings of Comedy without the king. comicking123@aol.com. shit, I'm in the yellow pages and they don't even sell yellow pages. If you don't find me, you ain't looking for me, goddammit. I'm your boy, your servant, your brother, Michael Collier. Honored to be here. Please look for my play. And I'm trying to do another movie version of House Party.
That's dope.
So I'm doing what's called Showboat's House Party.
Right.
It's going to be Showboat 25 years later at this 8-story mansion in Beverly Hills. It's some cold shit, man.
Well, man, I'm looking forward to it. And even more so, I'm just looking forward to you continuing to do your thing, man.
Thank you
for entertaining us.
God bless you.
For
Thank
decades
you for
on end.
Here. Thank you, bro.
My pleasure.
And I'm just starting. You wait till you see what happened. Wait till you see what happened this year.
That is Michael Collier. And
Thank
this
you.
Has been Expeditiously.
Expeditiously. Thank you, bro.
Hey, listen, man, I got some exciting news. My show, Expeditiously, will now be available on Spotify, and it's free. If you already listen to music on Spotify, now you can listen to the podcast in the same place.
Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.